Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 14th episode of Gotham Goes Hollywood. For those of you that don't know, I usually do a review of a movie where instead of I'm Batman the podcast, we get Gotham Goes Hollywood. This is the 14th episode of that. Now, this week I am reviewing the movie Justice League. The Justice League movie is the fifth movie in the DC Extended Universe, or the DCEU, which is what is this timeline of films is called. Now, give me a quick recap and my thoughts on the films that came before this to form the Justice League. The first movie was Man of Steel 2013, and this movie is awful. I do not like this movie. It is really long and boring with plenty of things that don't make sense. Superman is not the Superman that we all know and love. Instead, he's like this ultra-violent, dark and gritty Superman for some reason, because at that time, everybody wanted to be Batman. The second film is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. This came out in 2016. And this is the weird part. This movie is the direct sequel to Man of Steel. So instead of being Man of Steel 2, for some reason, Batman gets top heading in Superman's own movie. So Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Now, I love this movie. I know that the majority of people hate this movie for some reason, but I think this movie's pretty great. I think Batman's portrayal is great. I mean, we've seen Batman has been a murdering psycho for years. This is not a new thing. If you listen to I'm Batman the podcast, you'll know he kills people all the damn time. All this does is just put that up on the big screen. Superman's a little too mopey for my taste, but he does a better job here than in Man of Steel. The Batman v Superman fight at the end is great. I love that part. And we are introduced to Wonder Woman, who is probably the best part of that movie. The third film is Suicide Squad in 2016. A team of supervillains have to stop a threat against the world. Now, I like that movie despite of all its flaws. I know everything that's wrong with it, but I still just like it. It's a long, complicated mess with lots of characters that are not developed in the least. But I just like the chemistry between the actors as a team, and I think that it makes it fun. Jared Leto is awesome as this weird pimp new style Joker, but he is criminally undercut in the film. The fourth film is Wonder Woman in 2017. I like this movie. Wonder Woman's a great character, and she is really explored and developed in her own film. I have a problem with her in the books, but I really like her in the movie. Steve Trevor is a great character. He is awesome. So this movie basically feels like Wonder Woman and Captain America fight in World War I. So this brings us to our movie today. Justice League, released on November 17th, 2017. Now this movie is the culmination of all the other films that came before it, but it is a direct sequel to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Now since I am going to be talking about this movie, which is I'd say it's pretty recent. It's probably the most recent movie I've talked about on Gotham Goes Hollywood. It came out on November 17th of last year, and it just came out on DVD last week. So if you have not seen it in theaters, or if you have not seen the DVD and you are planning on buying it, spoiler alert. You know, just in case you need a spoiler alert, I'm obviously going to be going through the film in detail. So if you haven't seen it and you plan to, maybe you should watch it first and then listen to this. Okay, so I'm just going to go through some backstory and get you all up to date. In The Man of Steel, Superman fights the invading forces of Krypton, Kryptonian criminals led by General Zod. In protecting the city, Superman and Zod have a fight that destroys everything in its path. This causes Bruce Wayne to see the destruction firsthand and consider Superman a threat and any Krypton to be a threat to humanity. Bruce takes it upon himself to end the threat of Superman, and Superman takes it upon himself to end the vigilante reign of Batman, which he sees as being just as bad as the criminals he's stopping. All of this is being manipulated by Lex Luthor, who is also finding other superpowered beings around the world in order to stop them, as he sees all of them as being a threat to humanity. This brings Wonder Woman out of hiding. Luthor steals General Zod's corpse. He brings it back to life, but somehow corrupting its DNA and turning Zod into the monster known as Doomsday. Batman and Superman have a fight, as Lex has kidnapped Superman's mom and is forcing him to kill Batman to save her, and Batman is just a freaking psycho by this point. Batman, using kryptonite gas, beats the ever-loving crap out of Superman, and he is about to kill him, but is stopped when Superman tells Batman to save his mom, Martha.
Why'd you say that name? Why'd you say Martha? Why'd you say that name?
So as I mentioned, Batman is just psychotic by this point. And hearing the name of Martha, which happens to also be his mom's name, brings back memories of why he became Batman in the first place. Lois Lane runs in to explain to Batman what is happening, and Batman comes to realize that he's just been a huge douchebag this entire time, and he vows to help Superman. Superman goes to stop Lex, but Doomsday runs amok through the city. Superman fights Doomsday, and Batman saves Superman's mom. Superman can't stop Doomsday alone, and Batman has no power to do anything about it either. He's a human. Wonder Woman arrives and helps them out. Superman and Wonder Woman fight Doomsday as Batman hides behind a wall somewhere. He has no powers, people, come on. And he just beat up Superman. I'd say that's a pretty good achievement for one day. Lois Lane, being a dummy like she usually is, gets trapped and Superman rescues her. He sees a kryptonite lance that Batman was trying to use to kill him, and Superman takes it, knowing it's the only thing that will stop Doomsday. Wonder Woman ties up Doomsday with her lasso, Batman shoots Doomsday with a kryptonite gas, and Superman impales Doomsday with the kryptonite staff, but not before Doomsday also impales Superman through the chest with his hand. Superman dies. Wonder Woman knows there are more like her out there. Batman vows to be a hero once again and honor the name of Superman. So, alright. That brings us to our movie today, Justice League. We start off with an iPhone video of Superman having just rescued some people from a fire. We hear the voice of little kids asking Superman if they can ask him some questions for their podcast. Okay, so right off the bat, no pun intended, this Superman is awesome. I should mention that Henry Cavill has been Superman for all these movies, but he's portrayed him differently in each one. This Superman seems warmer and friendly, and even his costume has brighter colors. The kids ask Supes different questions, and he answers them with a smile. They ask him what his favorite thing about planet Earth is, and Superman ponders. He gets this huge smile on his face, but before he answers, the interview cuts, or our viewing of the interview cuts.
Zoran! Can we ask you some questions?
It's for our podcast.
Well, in that case.
How many people that you saved have you saved?
Wait, I...
Never mind. Does your thing really stand for hope?
Yes, it does.
But it looks like an S.
Yes, it's meant to. It's meant to wind, like a river. It comes and goes. A man I knew used to say that hope is like your car keys. Easy to lose, but if you dig around, it's usually close by.
Did you ever fight a hippo?
No, that's dumb.
Hippos are the most deadly.
What's the best thing about planet Earth?
Okay, I'm going to mention this here because people are going to be bringing it up. So, when they filmed this scene, Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, was filming Mission Impossible 6 or 7 or whatever. In that movie, he had to grow a mustache. Now, he couldn't shave the mustache because of his contract, so Warner Brothers Studio had to digitally remove his mustache from the movie. So everybody complains about him having this weird upper lip and face and like, oh, I'm so distracted. You know what? Shut up. You're stupid. Just watch the damn movie. It is not that distracting. In some scenes, he might look like he has like puffy cheeks or something, but that's about it. It is not something that's going to ruin the movie for you like you claim. If you're making that point, you're probably just against DC to begin with. So you know what? Let's just drop that one right there. We cut to a rooftop in Gotham where some pigeons are in a cage, with their cage lining being newspaper pages of Superman's death. we see a crook climb out of a window, and there's a weird reflection on the glass. The crook looks over and he sees Batman perched on the building next to him. The crook takes out a gun and starts firing, but Batman evades and winds up tying up the crook. He dangles the crook over the side of the building, making him scream for mercy, and the crook asks, "What do you want?" And Batman answers,
"Fear."
At that moment, we see this weird human-shaped cockroach monster fly up, and Batman yanks the crook out of the way, and he jumps at this monster. The monster flies around Gotham, but he hears this alarm, and it goes nuts, and it's attracted to it. Batman and the monster crash land back on the same roof, and Batman captures the monster onto the wall with a net. The monster lights up and explodes, leaving strange symbols behind on the wall. Batman calls Alfred and wants him to prep the jet because he's taking a trip north. The crook, who is still tied up there, I might add, he asks, "All this is happening because of Superman's death, isn't it?" Batman just leaves. Justice League title card as we intercut in between Superman's grave and tributes to him throughout the world, set to a version of Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows, sung by Sigrid. We see Lois Lane not being able to cope with Clark being gone. We see Martha Kent being evicted from her home as the bank has foreclosed on her. Crime and violence runs rampant throughout the world as everyone has lost hope over Superman's death. Now, I had a problem with this scene because in the previous movie, the world didn't seem to care about Superman. They seemed to have hated him. But a good friend of mine put it in perspective. She says, "We don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. Remember how everyone made fun of Michael Jackson when he was alive? But now that he's dead, everybody remembers him fondly and they miss him and his musical genius." So I'm pretty sure that's what happened here. The world now realizes how much he really helped them. Now that he's gone, they know what can really happen without Superman. We're in London, where some men pull up to what appears to be some sort of museum. The men are in black suits and they come out with machine guns. They start gunning down everyone and they take a classroom of children hostage. I'm guessing it's a classroom and a field trip or something, but they take this whole room full of kids. The leader of the group reveals a bomb. We see out in the distance Wonder Woman watching as this goes down. And it's pretty cool because it's a giant statue of Lady Justice with her scales and Wonder Woman standing on the arm. It looks really cool. She grabs one of the men with the lasso of truth and he tells her that they are a small terrorist group that believes the sins of the world have brought the alien invasion upon them. The leader of the group turns on the bomb and he says that the world needs to go back to the Dark Ages and to the Holy Beliefs. Wonder Woman bursts through the door and kicks all sorts of ass. Now, this scene always confused me a bit about her powers. Now, can Wonder Woman fly? I know she can in some places, in some comics, and then others she can't. I'm not sure if she does this in this movie. I don't think she flies here. She seems to be able to move as fast as the Flash, but other times she doesn't. So anyway, she beats the crap out of all these men. She grabs the bomb, jumps through the roof, throws it in the air, and explodes in the sky and doesn't harm anyone. The leader of the group grabs his machine gun and tries to kill all the hostages. He starts shooting, but Wonder Woman runs in the way of the bullets and deflects them with her bracelet. This is what I mean. This is when she's moving as fast as the Flash. She clangs her bracelets together, which unleashes some sort of force blast, and the scene fades to white. We cut to Iceland in some kind of frozen tundra, where Bruce Wayne, now with a beard, is searching for a man who comes to the village from the sea. And for some reason, WWE superstar Roman Reigns is standing there in the crowd. Bruce is offering $25,000 to be able to talk to this man. The people laugh, and he sees some sort of drawing on the wall of this man from the sea, along with drawings of the squares, the same symbols that the cockroach monster left behind. So, this guy that looks exactly like Roman Reigns is standing there. And Bruce says that there are invaders coming from far away and he's looking for a warrior to help him. Roman gets in Bruce's face and tells him to get out. Bruce tells Roman to at least point him to Atlantis. Roman grabs Bruce and throws him against the wall, holding him up by the collar. So now we learn that this Roman Reigns guy is actually Arthur Curry, protector of the ocean, the Aquaman.
You should get out. Can you at least point me to Atlantis? Arthur Curry. Also known as Protector of the Oceans, the Aquaman. I hear you can talk to fish.
Bruce and Aquaman talk outside, but Aquaman doesn't want to help because this invasion doesn't concern his world of the ocean. He dives into the sea and swims away. So for those of you who don't know, Aquaman is basically the Superman of the ocean, except he looks like a homeless person who hasn't bathed in years, even though he lives in water. But he has, I don't know, it's so weird. He looks like, the way I explained it is, he looks like if Rocket Raccoon became a person. He has this big old scraggly beard, long hair. He looks like Roman Reigns if Roman Reigns wouldn't shower for a year. Bruce flies back to Gotham and shaves off his beard. Bruce and Alfred try to investigate what those square symbol means. Alfred tells Bruce that they have another person to recruit named Barry Allen, who they can find because he visits his father in prison all the time. Bruce asks Alfred if he has contacted Diana, and Alfred basically tells Bruce to stop being a chicken and ask her out already. He's like, oh, what, you want me to fly to France with a note that says, do you want to be Bruce's teammate, with a checkbox marked yes or no? So yeah, Alfred's so snarky here, I love it. Alfred then informs Bruce of the third person of interest, a man named Victor Stone, but he is deceased. And we get a great line from Alfred here, though.
One misses the days when one's biggest concerns were exploding wind-up penguins.
A simple life.
We cut to a prison where a young man who we are to assume is Barry Allen is signing in to visit his father. This huge guy behind them tells him to hurry it up, and Barry turns around. Quick flash of light happens, and then this big old dude now has glasses and a mustache drawn on his face with a marker. Barry signs in and walks inside. The prison guard presses a button on his phone, which sends out a signal to someone. Fun fact, the prison guard who signs in Barry Allen is played by Mark McClure, who played Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal, in the original Christopher Reeves series of movies, and in the Supergirl film in 1984. Barry goes in to visit his dad, but his dad is angry that Barry is wasting his life trying to get him out of prison. He is tired of being a drag in Barry's life. So quick backstory, Barry's dad is in prison because he was accused of killing his wife, but of course he's innocent and some like other villain is the real killer. Another fun fact, Barry Allen's dad is played by actor Billy Crudup, who played Dr. Manhattan in another DC Comics movie, Watchmen, back in 2009. Hey, maybe I'll do that one for Gotham Goes Hollywood episode 15. Barry's dad tells him to just give up on him. Time is up and he has to leave. We go to Star Labs in Metropolis, where a scientist named Silas Stone is heading home. A janitor at the lab tells Silas that he's sorry to hear about his son Victor's death. We are at Silas's home, where he is talking to his dead son. So his son is hidden in shadows, and Victor is angry. So Victor Stone is the dead son. He's angry because he doesn't understand what he's become. He keeps evolving, and he doesn't know into what. He turns around and we see that he is a half human, half robot. So he looks really weird. He kind of looks like sadly like one of Michael Bay's Transformers. He's like this robot made out of weird moving parts and metal, like shiny metal. He has half of his face is human, the other half isn't. He has like a light, like a police siren. It almost looks like he has like a red eye with a blue light on his forehead and another red light on his chest. He looks okay, I guess, but he looks too much like a toy for me. So Victor flies up into the air with some boosters, and he tells his dad that he couldn't do that the night before. Back at Star Labs, the janitor runs into one of those flying cockroach monsters and gets attacked. We are at Wonder Woman's home in Themyscira. I don't know how to pronounce it. I always just call it Tiramisu Island. So we see Amazon women lined up as Wonder Woman's mom walks into a chamber. The chamber has a box that is emitting energy and these loud pinging sounds. They tell us these boxes are called a mother box. The mother box starts like going nuts, emitting lights and pinging sounds, when suddenly a huge tube of light comes down and this huge monster appears. It's actually someone named Steppenwolf. He is like this huge demon-looking warrior in armor. He looks, as my friend described it, like Loki from the Marvel movies, but he actually looks powerful. Personally, he reminds me of Apocalypse from the X-Men comics. Not the movie, but the comics. But with a helmet with huge horns and like this huge axe made of fire. Wonder Woman's mom, whose name is Hippolyta, I don't know how to pronounce these names, Hippolyta, takes the mother box and runs away to keep it from Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf starts destroying these warrior women with ease. They run away, but Steppenwolf and his army of cockroach demons give chase. We get a really exciting action scene with horses and Steppenwolf laying waste to all the Amazons. Steppenwolf manages to get the box, and at that moment, a huge army of Amazons run toward him, but he teleports away in a ray of light, which are called boom tubes. Yeah, that's really what they're called. Hippolyta tells the others to light the ancient warning fire. The women do this by firing a burning arrow through the sky into this temple in Greece, so the news about this mysterious fire spreads. Diana Prince, Wonder Woman, hears about it and knows the world is in trouble. We cut to the Daily Planet, where Lois Lane and Martha Kent are talking. Martha wants Lois to be brave like she was when Clark was around, but Lois says that she lost that part of herself when Clark left. She's not ready for hard-hitting stories again. And then Martha and Lois commiserate about Clark for a while. Back to Victor Stone, aka Cyborg, and he is having all these images of Bruce Wayne as Batman running through his head, because it seems he has somehow hacked into the Batcomputer. So Cyborg, to explain, he's basically like a living computer. So that's why he's able to do all this stuff. Back at the Batcave, and Bruce has found the alarm that made the cockroach monster go nuts. Alfred says that he's going to rig something up for the suit. Bruce works on this giant airplane when Diana walks in. He tells her that it's a prototype air transport. Diana tells Bruce the attack is already here, and she explains who Steppenwolf is.
They called him Steppenwolf, the end of worlds. He lived only to conquer. Millions fell before his blade, or rose again as its parademons. Nightmare creatures who feed on fear.
Alright, so quick recap. Steppenwolf is the uncle of Darkseid, and just think of Darkseid as this big villain of everything. So he's like this huge planet conqueror. He wanted to take over the world, but was stopped, and is now back at it again. Steppenwolf was stopped, not Darkseid. So got it? Great. Now Diana explains what the mother boxes are. They are three boxes that, when combined, destroy a world while simultaneously creating a new one. Three boxes were separated, with one going to the Amazons, which Steppenwolf now has. The other is protected by the Atlanteans down in the ocean, and the third one by humans, who they have no idea where it is hidden.
They don't contain power. They are power. Carried from planet to planet, the mother boxes combine to form the Unity, an apocalyptic power that not only destroys worlds, but transforms them into the primordial hellscape of Steppenwolf's birth world. We should have died, but we formed our own unity. Amazons, Atlanteans, all the tribes of men fought side by side. Warriors of legend. Allies from other worlds. Even the gods themselves all acted as one, laying down their lives to drive Steppenwolf away. Some say it drove him mad, the disgrace of his first retreat. He swore our alliance would crumble. The darkness would cover the earth. And that he would return when it did. Left behind, the mother boxes were too dangerous to be kept together. One was entrusted to the Amazons. One to the Atlanteans. Both sealed and guarded in secure strongholds. The box of man was buried in secret, so that no tribe would be tempted to use its power over another.
Such harmony out of such horror. It was truly an age of heroes.
Okay, so we learned some things from this scene. So I forgot to mention that as Diana explains all of this, we get these amazing battle scenes of all these forces trying to stop Steppenwolf. We get to see some of the Green Lanterns in action. So this, now we know that the Green Lantern Corps exists in this world. And we also learned that the cockroach monsters are known as parademons, and they are fallen warriors that were turned into demons that feed on fear. Hell, we even get a cameo from Zeus, and not the Zeus from No Holds Barred, sadly, but Zeus, the god of gods. He is the person seen defeating Steppenwolf and dividing the mother boxes with his bolts of lightning. Bruce tells Diana to go to recruit Victor, and he will recruit Barry Allen. They walk away, and we see Cyborg spying on them from the trees. We cut to Barry Allen arriving home to his hideout, when he turns on the lights and he sees Bruce Wayne sitting in the dark.
Barry Allen. Bruce Wayne.
You said that like it explains why there's a total stranger in my place, sitting in the dark, in my second favorite chair.
Bruce says that he knows that Barry has power, but he doesn't know what they are. He throws a batarang at Barry, and Barry is like starstruck that this is Batman. And I can't blame him, because I would act the exact same way.
I know you have abilities. I just don't know what they are.
My special skills include Viola, web design, fluent in sign language, gorilla sign language.
Silica-based quartz sand fabric, abrasion resistant, heat resistant.
Yeah, I do competitive ice dancing.
It's what they use on the space shuttle to prevent it from burning up on re-entry.
I do very competitive ice dancing.
Bruce tries to convince Barry to join, and Barry agrees immediately. He says that he needs friends. He asks, what are they going up against? And Bruce says that he'll tell him on the plane.
It's like this layer of dimensional reality, and it seems to manipulate space-time. I call it the speed force. It causes me to burn a tremendous amount of calories, so I am just a black hole of snacks. I am a snack hole.
How many people are on this special fight team?
Three, including you.
Three? Against what?
I'll tell you on the plane.
Plane? What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
Wonder Woman is in the Batcave when Cyborg starts communicating through the computer. Now, this part is a little weird because I saw this movie in English and I've seen it in Spanish. And it's weird because in English, all you see is text up on the screen. But in Spanish, apart from the text, you hear Cyborg talking through the computer. So I find it odd that in English, it does not have any voice. It's just text. But Cyborg agrees to meet Wonder Woman in person. Wonder Woman and Cyborg meet up, and he tells her that he'll let her know if something pops up in his system about the mother boxes, but she says that's not good enough. She says she lost the person she loved, and she hid herself from the world, but she's trying to be better, and she knows if Cyborg agreed to meet her, it's because he wants to better himself too. Cyborg gets angry and flies away. Out in the ocean, a ship is sunk, and Aquaman rescues the person in it. The man keeps mentioning something coming out of the sky and sinking his ship. Aquaman doesn't believe him until he sees the green blood of the parademons. We're in Atlantis, where Queen Mera, who is like the queen of the ocean, is trying to fight off Steppenwolf. Aquaman arrives, but he gets his butt kicked, and Steppenwolf takes off with the second mother box. Aquaman talks to Mera, and she tells him that Aquaman needs to go to the surface and hunt down Steppenwolf. Aquaman says that he's going to need something from her. We cut to a ravaged city that looks like Chernobyl or something, where a family is going about their day. Suddenly, the sky is clouded by a horde of parademons as the family hides in fear. It seems that this is where Steppenwolf has set up his base.
I know, Mother. You've waited too long for the Unity. I know, but you will feed. And my exile will come to an end. I will take my place among the new gods. Find the last one. Its power will cleanse this world. For the Unity. For Darkseid.
We cut to Cyborg's house when we see his father come home and he gets taken by a parademon. So, whoa, this is pretty cool. We are on GCPD. We are in Gotham City Police Department, where we see Jim Gordon for the first time. He is played by J.K. Simmons, who you may know as Spider-Man's boss, J. Jonah Jameson, in those movies. And he is awesome as hell. The other cops are investigating disappearances of people that witnesses describe as being a giant bat creature. Gordon knows that this isn't Batman kidnapping people, So he says he's going to speak to him about it tonight.
8 kidnappings. 6 in Metropolis, 2 here. All the Vicks work for Star Labs.
Attacked by a flying vampire. Suspect was a giant bat with huge fangs.
One of them was a little kid. Scared. Won't say a word, but drew this. Looks like...
I know what it looks like. Come on, you think he fights criminals for 20 years here and then he goes to Metropolis and kidnaps 8 people? I'll talk to him tonight.
World's gone crazy, Jim. Maybe he did too.
Barry Allen meets Diana, and of course he's taken aback by her beauty. He then gets excited because he saw the bat signal in the sky, and you know what? I would totally be like this guy. Cyborg finds that his father is missing, and he also sees the bat signal. So, okay, this is really cool. So if you pay attention during certain music cues, you can hear the classic Tim Burton Batman theme, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and Christopher Reeve's Superman theme, you know, the dun da da ba bum 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 bum. They're being implemented into the film's score, and I thought that was so cool. Batman and Flash and Wonder Woman meet up with Commissioner Gordon. Cyborg eventually joins them, and Gordon lets them in on what's going on. 8 people from Star Labs have been kidnapped by the parademons, and Cyborg deducts that they are hiding underground. Gordon asks something, and the League... So it's a classic, Gordon has something to ask. He turns around, then when he turns back around, the League are gone, except for Flash. And Flash is like, whoa, they just left you here. That's pretty rude. And then he takes off himself. Below in the tunnels, the League are riding in this giant crab-like robot that Batman made called the Nightcrawler. They find their way to Steppenwolf, who is killing the hostages, trying to find information on their mother boxes. So Flash, and that's Barry Allen, pulls Batman to the side and tells him that he has never been in a battle before. He just pushes people and runs away. Batman tells him to just save one person and he'll know what to do.
Right, okay, yeah, here's the thing. See, I'm afraid of bugs and, guns and obnoxiously tall people and murder, and I can't be here. It's really cool, you guys seem ready to do battle and stuff, but full transparency, I've never done battle. I've just pushed some people and run away.
Save one.
What?
Save one person.
Which one?
Don't talk. Don't fight. Get in. Get one out.
And then?
You'll know.
Steppenwolf is about to kill Cyborg's dad when Cyborg's arm automatically turns into a cannon, and even Cyborg himself is surprised by this, and he shoots Steppenwolf and rescues his dad. Steppenwolf is happy because he knows that Cyborg is from the same technology as that of the Mother Box. Wonder Woman jumps in and starts fighting Steppenwolf. Batman starts fighting the parademons, and Flash builds up the courage and starts rescuing the hostages. Steppenwolf tells the parademons that Wonder Woman is his to kill, and he proceeds to beat the crap out of her. Batman is getting his butt kicked by the parademons, so he calls Alfred to control the Nightcrawler. Batman jumps into the Nightcrawler tank and he shoots Steppenwolf and the parademons. They just seem annoyed by this, and Steppenwolf tears the tank apart with his bare hands. Wonder Woman loses her sword, but in a cool scene, Flash runs and everything goes into slow motion. He gets the sword to Wonder Woman, but then trips on a rock. Flash sees that the Nightcrawler and some rocks are going to crush Wonder Woman, so he moves her out of the way and saves her. And she seems very impressed by his actions. Flash is shot in the leg by a parademon. Wonder Woman's bracelet blast does nothing to Steppenwolf, so this guy is like more powerful than they imagined. Cyborg takes control of the destroyed Nightcrawler and shoots missiles at Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf just casually catches them, and he's like, huh, what a primitive species. And then he just throws the missiles at a wall. The wall is destroyed, and since they are under Gotham Harbor, the tunnels start flooding. Steppenwolf says they are just a distraction, and he teleports away. So the League runs away from the Flash Flood, but before the flood can get them, Aquaman comes out of nowhere and he holds the water back, now sporting armor and a pitchfork, so I guess that's what he needed from Mera. Cyborg suddenly realizes something and he flies away, ditching them in the tunnels. So we're on the surface, and Commissioner Gordon meets up with the League. Aquaman informs everyone that Steppenwolf has the second box. At that moment, Cyborg arrives with the third box. We cut back to the Batcave, where Flash acts exactly like I would.
Wow, it's like a cave.
Like a bat cave.
Cyborg explains that the third box was in Star Labs hidden. Cyborg tells the story of how his dad rebuilt him after he died using the box, and it turned him into the robot-like man you see now. Bruce has an idea. What if someone was so strong that their cells wouldn't decay? A man who can't really die. A Superman, if you will. Yes, he wants to use the box to bring Superman back to life. Diana thinks that this is a horrible idea, and everyone agrees. Flash puts it the best way, saying this could turn out like the movie Pet Sematary. Bruce starts being an ass to Diana to try to convince her for some reason. He thinks this is going to work.
You're risking lives. Theirs and maybe countless more.
We don't have time for a control group. Is it a risk? Yes, but it's necessary.
Why? Because of your guilt? Bruce, I was there. You didn't kill Superman. At some point, even you have to learn to move on.
Did Steve Trevor tell you that? Superman was a beacon to the world. Why aren't you? You're an inspiration, Diana. You don't just save people. You make them see their better selves. And yet, I never heard of you until Luther lured you out by stealing a picture of your dead boyfriend. Shut yourself down for a century, so let's not talk about me moving on.
You know that if she kills you, we'll cover for her.
We are not enough. Each of us in our own way is held back, and I promise you, Steppenwolf is not out there talking about ethics. He's trying to burn down the world.
Cyborg says that while all this was going on, he ran some numbers, and he thinks that this could actually work.
I agree. I don't like the idea of reintegrating with the Mother Box. But I was running the numbers while you were being an asshole, and there is a high probability that we can bring him back.
Right, but we mean bring him back in like a yay, he's back way, not in like a pet cemetery scenario.
Everyone's gone now, and we see Bruce working on that alarm sound from earlier. Alfred walks in, and Bruce and him have an argument about working with a team. Now, I like this scene because it shows us how Bruce has changed.
You got a team here.
Superman can bring this team together better than I ever could. His strength...
Doesn't matter how strong you are or what abilities you might
have. He's more human than I am. He lived in this world. Fell in love. Got a job. Despite all that power. The world needs Superman. And the team needs Clark.
Okay, so we cut to one of the weirdest scenes in the movie as the Flash and Cyborg are digging up Clark Kent's body from his grave. Cyborg and Flash have a nice bonding moment, though, as they're just talking to each other. Flash says that he knows he can do that quicker, but he just feels is disrespectful somehow. They have a nice bonding moment when Cyborg asks Flash how he got his powers. It seems like Flash was struck by lightning and some chemical spilled. That's the abridged version, as he tells it. And Cyborg died, and his dad rebuilt him with the box. So they figure out that they are the accidents of the team. They get to the casket, and they sneak Clark's body into Star Labs. And they go into the chamber where Lex Luthor created Doomsday. So it's like a giant lake or something of liquid. So the entire league is there. Cyborg says that Luthor fried the controls when he created Doomsday, but Flash says his body could generate enough power to charge the Mother Box. The plan is to drop the box into the water where Clark's body is at and charge it at the exact second that the box hits the liquid. Flash gears up and he runs. He touches the box right on time, the plan works, and Superman opens his eyes and has returned to life. Superman flies out of the lab into the Superman statue that was destroyed in Batman v Superman. Superman is trying to remember who he is. So the League, minus Batman, catch up to him, and they call him out. Superman is disoriented as all of his powers are coming back to him at once. He can't seem to control them. His X-ray vision, his super hearing, it's all just out of control. Aquaman knows that they done effed up. You could just see it in his face. Cyborg's defense systems go off. He says that he can't control it. So Cyborg shoots Superman. This causes Superman to attack them. And oh man, this is like my favorite scene in the movie. The entire league has this face of, oh my god, we're screwed. Diana uses her lasso to try to help Superman remember who he is. And it kind of works, but he continues attacking. Diana explains that Superman is confused. He doesn't know who he is. Aquaman and Wonder Woman and Cyborg all attack at once, but Superman holds them back with ease. Now this scene is great. Flash starts running and everything goes into slow motion. Then Superman follows him with his face. Like, he starts turning his head, following him. And the Flash gets this face of fear, like, oh my god. Superman tosses the others away and runs after Flash. So Flash is dodging Superman, but he can barely move out of the way because Superman is almost as fast as he is. Batman shows up, and oh man, S my D, Batman. Oh man, you done screwed up big. Superman sees Batman and says, I know you. Wonder Woman tries another bracelet blast, but Superman stops her and he headbutts her to hell. Superman slaps the crap out of Batman into a cop car, and Batman tells Alfred to bring in the big guns. Superman grabs Batman by the jaw, and he flies him up into the air. Superman says that this has to be Batman's fault, and then repeats one of Batman's most badass lines back to him.
You did this.
I had to.
You won't let me live. You won't let me die.
The world needs you.
It doesn't need you. Tell me. Do you bleed?
So before Superman can crush Batman's head with his one hand, Lois Lane arrives. She yells, Clark! Like, right in front of, like, four policemen, so I guess his secret identity doesn't matter anymore. Superman throws away Batman like he's trash, so I guess we could find out, we know who won the rematch here. Lois manages to make Superman remember who he is, reminding him of the love they have. Proving that no matter how strong you are, the power of love is always stronger. Superman flies away with Lois, and we see Batman on the ground, wriggling in pain.
Something is definitely bleeding.
Dude, holy crap, man. Batman is the Rodney Dangerfield of this movie. No respects, I tell you. No respect at all. The League is in shambles, and at that moment, they see a boom tube appear and leave. It seems they forgot about the box during their battle because they are stupid. So now Steppenwolf has all three boxes. Clark Kent is back at his old farm, and he starts to remember who he is. Lois takes him by the hand. Back in the Batcave, and Bruce is trying to come up with a plan. The team is at each other's throats, though.
So you can't find them, or maybe you don't want to.
Arthur.
Yeah, that was a great way to get rid of Superman.
Man, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Right, because you can't control the machine.
So is this a bad time to bring up my blood sugar? Very hungry.
Wonder Woman manages to get everybody calmed down, and she convinces everybody to work together. Cyborg is going to trace energy signals from the box, and Bruce wants to know if Aquaman can call his fish friends to send out a message.
Put out a, you know, the feeler in the aquatic, you know. I mean, do you talk to fish?
The water does the talking.
Of course.
If the current comes in strange, it may point the way.
Okay,
so Aquaman doesn't talk to fish. He talks to the water. Anyways, Bruce goes to his room, and Wonder Woman sees him without his armor. He is, like, all bruised up. She remembers that Batman has no powers and admires his bravery for doing what he does. They share a tender moment, and Wonder Woman knows she should be leading the team, and Batman was trying to get her to do that. She is afraid of being responsible for people dying because she is the leader. Bruce tells her that if they survive, she can hide forever if she wants. They have a toast, and then I'm assuming have sex for the rest of the night. Clark is back in the farm, and Lois tells him that she wasn't strong enough to handle his death, that he would not have been proud of her. He tells her that he loves her, but she knows that he has to leave again to stop Steppenwolf. Clark's mom arrives, and they all share a loving hug. Steppenwolf combines the boxes, and this huge dome grows over the Ukraine or wherever he is. These purple roots start growing out of the ground, destroying everything. Cyborg manages to find a spot now that all this is happening, and it is in Russia near a destroyed power plant. The League get on board Bruce's giant flying aircraft and prepare to go into battle. The League talk inside, where suddenly Aquaman starts burying his soul to the team.
I'll have to be there, but you guys should think about getting clear.
We're with you till it's done.
Honestly, I think we're all going to be dead way before that. And you know what? I don't mind. It's an honorable end. But we gotta shut Steppenwolf down. Superman's a no-show. You got no powers, no offense. This guy might be working for the enemy, we don't know. You're tripping over your feet and mine. Oof. You're gorgeous and fierce and strong and I know we went to war with the Amazons, but that was before my time. And you know what? I don't wanna die. I'm young, there's shit that I wanna do. I just feel like I never really embraced the sea or the land. I've been a loner my whole life, but being part of something bigger like this, maybe I'm scared because I'm meant to.
I think that was beautiful.
You say a word about this, you'll meet every prana I know.
I honestly didn't hear anything after we're all gonna die.
Alright, though, seriously, that had me cracking up. That moment is pretty damn funny. It turns out that Aquaman was sitting on Wonder Woman's lasso of truth, so I thought this was done great. Batman's plan is that he will basically sacrifice himself to destroy the dome around Steppenwolf and have the parademons chase him away. Batman flies and leaves the League behind. He flies his ship into the dome. He destroys the main tower powering it, and his ship is destroyed along the way. Before he crashes, he rides the Batmobile down to the ground. The Batmobile starts blaring that alarm sound that we've been hearing all movie, and the entire army of parademons chase after him. The parademons swarm the Batmobile, but before they can kill Batman, Cyborg, Aquaman, Flash, and Wonder Woman rescue him. Aquaman tells him that Batman tells him that wasn't the plan. But Aquaman says it was Wonder Woman's call. She didn't put it up for a boat, or we would have just left you there. The Russian family from earlier runs away in their truck, and we see these purple roots approaching and destroying the city. Now, a really cool action scene starts as we fly from hero to hero as they fight the parademons. Wonder Woman breaks through Steppenwolf's tower and calls him a coward for hiding out instead of engaging in battle. Steppenwolf grabs his axe and starts fighting, but he gets tackled by Aquaman. Batman attacks some parademons and takes their laser rifle to destroy more. Flash and Cyborg get to the cubes, and Flash keeps the parademons away while Cyborg tries to defuse and separate the boxes somehow. The League is doing well at first, but they start to get overwhelmed by the parademon army. The cool part here is that we do see them working as a team, helping each other out instead of just trying to attack on their own. Steppenwolf grabs Cyborg, but Wonder Woman breaks the platform that they're all standing on, falling to a lower level. Alfred informs that civilians are running east from those purple roots, so Batman sends Flash to save them. Flash starts running, but he isn't sure if the direction he's going is east. More fighting between Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf grabs Cyborg away from the box and rips him in half, like literally rips Cyborg in half. The League seems to be defeated until you hear a familiar voice.
You're all too weak to see the truth.
Well, I believe in truth. But I'm also a big fan of justice.
Superman shows up and just starts beating the hell out of Steppenwolf. Like, hard. He is no match for Superman at all. Cyborg rebuilds himself and Superman asks, what does he need to do? Batman tells Superman that they need to buy Cyborg more time. But at that moment, Superman hears the civilians and leaves to save them. Wonder Woman and Aquaman continue the fight as Batman keeps the parademons away from Cyborg. We see Flash finally figure out what direction east is when he is caught up by Superman. Flash runs and saves that one family on the truck, and he feels all proud of himself. He looks to the right, and he sees Superman flying by with an entire apartment building on his back. So that's another funny moment. Flash runs back to battle. Aquaman and Wonder Woman are finally getting an upper hand on Steppenwolf, and Superman shows up. Superman runs over to Cyborg, who tells him that, Cyborg tells Superman that they need to pull the boxes apart. The blast could kill them, but Cyborg thinks that maybe they could handle it. They pull the boxes apart, and Cyborg and Superman are blown away. Superman starts moving, and Cyborg does as well.
I take it back. I want to die. Man, my toes hurt. I don't even understand the physics of how my toes hurt.
Children, I work with children.
So that scene always reminds me of Ninja Turtles. If you ever played the Ninja Turtle arcade game Turtles in Time, whenever one of the turtles gets hit by a landmine when the sewer surfing level, they start jumping around going, "My toe, my toe!" Cyborg complaining about his toes always makes me think of that. Steppenwolf gets back up and he smacks Flash across the room. Aquaman impales him with his trident and Steppenwolf looks seriously hurt, like he is beat up. Superman uses his ice breath to free Steppenwolf's axe and Wonder Woman shatters it. Steppenwolf starts backing away scared and suddenly the parademons turn on him since they feast on fear. The parademons start attacking Steppenwolf like the hyenas do to Scar in the end of The Lion King, and Steppenwolf uses a boom tube to teleport away somewhere. The League stand outside, and they see the purple roots that were destroying the nuclear wasteland. They have made it into a paradise of flowers. We cut to Clark's old home, where Bruce has bought it back for Clark's family. Clark asks, how did you do that? And Bruce replies, I bought the bank. People complain, why did he buy the bank? It's a joke. Cripes on Friday. Barry Allen goes to his dad and he shows him that he has a new job at a crime lab. A real job. So his dad is really proud. Lois is back to writing and reports on when Superman's return means to the world. Bruce returns to Wayne Manor where he plans to make it the new headquarters for the Justice League. We see Cyborg working with his dad to understand the technology that made him. Aquaman is swimming through the ocean, and Wonder Woman is stopping a museum robbery, inspiring some kids instead of hiding. Commissioner Gordon lights the bat signal, and Batman arrives in his Batwing. Clark Kent looks up into the sky. He rips his shirt open to reveal the Superman logo underneath. Superman flies. Look! Up in the sky! The... and oh, but it continues. We get a mid-credit scene as Flash and Superman are going to have a race.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this.
Not at all, Barry. Curious myself.
Yeah, and it's not like a competition, you know? Well, it is a competition, but, you know, it's not like a macho measuring thing.
But if I win, you're off the team. No. If I win, Bruce said something about you having to take us all to brunch?
Oh, see, now that's cold. That's a betrayal. I feel stung by that. Okay, but if I win, I get to tell everyone.
Deal. Which coast?
You know, I've never seen the Pacific. Which is that way, because the sun and it's...
After that, we get more ending credits, and we get another hidden scene. We are in a prison where the guard is calling for Lex Luthor, and Luthor doesn't respond, and we see that the person inside his cell isn't Luthor, but some crazed lunatic. We cut to a yacht where a speedboat approaches, and we see Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, get off. He approaches Lex Luthor, who now looks like the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor. He says that maybe they need their own league.
Ah, there he is. Welcome aboard. Care for a glass of Goudet de Mont. I was just celebrating God's return out of the ground and back up into the sky. He and his odd little friends are forming some sort of league.
You better not be wasting my time.
No, I have too much to live for, and more important things to do. We have to level the playing field, Mr. Wilson. To put it plainly, shouldn't we have a league of our own?
Oh, man. Okay, I love this movie. It's fun, it's colorful, it's exciting. As many of you know, I'm a DC guy. I like Marvel, but I have big problems with their movies. This movie has some problems, but I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really good movie, and I really recommend it. So if you haven't seen it and you listen to all of this, you might know how it ends. You might know the stuff that's going on, but I do recommend that you watch it. It's a really fun movie to watch. It fixed a lot of the problems from the previous films, especially that the previous films were so dark and serious. I always defended them as saying they were trying to do something else from Marvel. One of my problems with Marvel films is that now they've basically become comedies. Thor Ragnarok was basically freaking like American Pie in space, and I did not like that. That's why I find that these movies are finding a good tone with the humor. They're not going overboard, so I really like this one. Everybody, thank you for joining me. If you have any thoughts on the show, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Remember, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, we are united.